Yeah, I don't have the clip saved on Twitter or else I'd share it with you. Because it's almost gruesome.
Well,
yeah, it's, yeah.
What's the deal? Did he jump off a ladder? What happened?
Okay, so, no, he jumped off of actually a piece of scaffolding. I don't want to say scaffolding. It's like, you know those metal beams?
By the way.
Huh?
It was an Ultimate X match, so, yeah.
It was one of the higher beams. He's a good 20 feet up in the air. He's
and who crashed and burned?
I don't know the guy's name.
Leon Slater.
Okay.
Slater. I'm just looking it up.
Yeah, look it up because it's pretty. Yes.
So yeah, he's up on the thing. Yeah. The lighting rig.
Yeah, the lighting rig.
They're all gathered together. That looks good. That's nice. Yep. All right, bunch up, guys. Top to all. Yep. Spread your wings. No fucking way.
See?
It's bad.
No, they all took a step to the right and to the left, respectively. From the time the camera left them to the time the camera was back on them and they're scattering like chickens.
Those bitches and, parted like the red fucking sea, man.
Stop. Please tell me you're recording this.
I am.
That's off, dude. Hats off. Top dollar. Stood there right in the middle and just took it. Was like, all right, fine. It's hey, guys. It's usually way easier when there are, like, six of us doing this. But, sure, I'll just go ahead and break my neck. Fine. Oh. Thanks, fellas.
I'm glad you saw that, and I'm glad I was recording live as it happened.
That was bad. That was real bad.
Yeah, that was real bad. A lot of guys were – yeah, guys took a verbal beating online over that.
Top dollar needs to be – I hope he went back there and just started slapping them all in the back of the head.
Well, he had a lot to say about it online, but he usually does.
Well, yeah, I mean, he'll never stay quiet about nothing.
Yeah.
So. That, you know, honestly, I don't think he would ever, like, touch AEW just because of that. Tony would be like, no, I'm good. This guy's going to tell it like it is? No, we can't have that.
No, Top Dollar is in the perfect spot for him.
Oh, yeah.
Until a day comes that he ever wants to try out with WWE again, and if they'll talk to him, TNA is the perfect spot for him.
Yeah.
Always take that phone call and see where it goes, but for now, dude, you're killing it.
So, all right, let's go ahead and get this thing rolling here, huh?
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a Before the Bell Rings All-Star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, May 1st. My God, we are almost halfway through this year. I can't believe it. 2025 again, just like every year before, just flying right by. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network, as always, to be found on thechairshot.com, as well as all of your favorite podcasting platforms. Remember, always use your head. I'm the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. Going to go around the room here and introduce this cast of characters like I do each and every week here on this show, starting with the host of the Rob the Genius podcast. He is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures. He's the deacon of data, the official shoot bear of the Mindless Wrestling podcast. He's the king of the power nap, Ray Cash's daddy, and the man with the golden shovel, Mr. Rob, sir. How's your week, Bubba?
Well, not too bad, and I'm contemplating going back to the commuter bus, because in a couple of weeks, I got to go back to the office 5 days a week.
Oh, God.
And I'm not trying to drive to the metro station 5 days a week. That
yeah, that sounds awful, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, it happens, man. But some good news. Next week, my daughter is graduating from high school.
That's awesome, man. That's a big deal. That's exciting.
Congratulations.
Yes, congratulations to her. That's very, very cool. Big deal. And then your son's what, 2 years behind? Three?
He's freshman this year.
He's freshman, so he's still got. Okay, so he's got some time left on the clock.
Yeah.
All right. Well, congratulations to her. That's actually very, very cool. And the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, he hails from the Purple Haze and Cloud Nine. He's Bucky's tag team partner, the man with the bionic back, destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, how's your week?
It's wonderful. How are you?
This has been a good week. Tiring because it's going to be my long week. I signed up for some Saturday hours, so I'm going to be working straight through Saturday, which is going to be a little exhausting. So I'm going to be cooked by Sunday morning. But all in all, it's been a good week, man.
That doesn't sound fun, but hey, you'll get through it.
Oh yeah, I always do. And Saturday, dude, Saturday's a cakewalk. It's easy money, and we're going to Welcome to Rockville in 2 weeks. And that paycheck will have this Saturday because it's all overtime. Plus they give me differential pay. So that's all funny money. That's going straight to alcohol and t-shirts and food for Rockville.
Excellent.
Yeah. So it's all gravy, man. I'm actually excited for it. So, all right. You, the listener, I know for the last few weeks we have been promising a certain type of show. We are coming out of WrestleMania and we thought going into WrestleMania that we would have a few weeks worth of content to talk about, lots of stuff to go over, lots of things to get excited about. And I'm not saying that we don't. We had also talked about the possibility of having some guest hosts on here talking about their WrestleMania thoughts and experiences and, you know, what they thought and everything like that. But the reality is we kind of talked about everything there is to talk about last week and we had a good show. We had a thorough show. The only stuff that's left to talk about really is a lot of negative discourse, and I don't want to get into that.
Go ahead, Rob.
Because
we've talked about that in our group chat and all of that, and I think we've said, well, at least I've said everything I have to say.
Yeah. You know, I think we've exhausted that, and so we highlighted the positives. We had a lot of fun doing that. I want to move on from the negatives. I want to move away from WrestleMania 41. Obviously, we will continue to talk about the ramifications and WWE and everything like that going forward. But I think the WrestleMania talk we're going to put to bed for this year. We want to move forward. We want to have a little bit of fun because that's what we do on this podcast. And that's what we try to provide for you is fun, entertainment, and escape from whatever it is that you do. If you listen to us as background noise, you listen to us on your commute on the way home, whether you're working out, we appreciate you, but we want to try and provide something that's fun because we're definitely not educational. Well, Rob's the smart one here. Rob's educational. I'm not educational. So we had a fun little game that Rob wants to do that we're going to do at the end of this. It's called Bring Back, Get Rid of, or Fix. And we may actually kick the fix out of there. I will let Rob explain that as we get a little bit further along. But we wanted to start off this episode this week with a watch-along. And, you know, we try to do these periodically, you know, three or four times a year, do a little watch-along of a match. And we got to talking in our group chat about a rather obscure outlying match that a lot of people probably don't have on their radar. It's one I've personally never seen because this was at a time period when I was still kind of in and out on WWE. I was kind of watching, but I hadn't jumped full time back in. It was from Extreme Rules 2014. And there was a match called WLC that featured El Torito and, was it Hornswoggle?
Yes.
Hornswoggle. And We want to talk about, let me frame this because little people, man, I don't want to call them midget matches because that's what they would have called it 20 or 30 years ago. But the little people matches in the last probably 20 to 30 years really feel like they become the butt of jokes. And people forget that these are real wrestlers. These are a real go. They train, they hit the road, they do everything that anybody else does. They are real wrestlers. And for the longest time, they were the butt of jokes. And unfortunately, there was a very, very small place at the God, that was a horrible reference. There was a very limited. Damn it. I'm going to eat it for that one. I'm going to eat it for that one. There was a limited space at the table for these workers. And WWE was notorious for continuing to make them the butt of the jokes. However, on one night, they seemed to take it serious and let two gentlemen go out here and have a real match. It's a match I've never seen. Jason's seen it. I think Rob has seen it. They both speak very highly of it. And I think we're going to go ahead and give this one a watch. One. This one, unfortunately, is not on the Peacock. I had to find this one on the YouTube channel. So if you want to pause the podcast, you can go to WWE's YouTube channel, look up WeeLC, W-E-E-L-C, and it should bring you right there. And I think we're going to watch that one along. Do either one of you have anything to add here before we get started on this?
Well, just you framed it pretty well, DJ, that like...
Yeah, until I shit the bed.
Right, well, no, honestly, if you had kept going, that would have been a fun little thing. Huh? But so because what you're talking about, this is just little people, professional wrestling. It, if you designed it, like if you wrote it down, this is what it would be. Because it's just a TLC match with two competitors and commentators and a referee and a ring announcer. And there's no, like, Swoggle doesn't come out dressed as a leprechaun, you know? It is just, and all of those people that I mentioned are little people. The commentators, the et cetera, et cetera. So
yeah, the
I
ring
don't
announcer,
remember.
The commentators, the referee, they went all out with
exactly.
This.
And they, and that's my, like, favorite type of humor and, like, where you get it right to the line and you maybe even, like, you know, go over, go, like, lean over it in terms of the humor, but you don't, nothing, nobody becomes the butt of the joke. Nobody become, it doesn't, you don't need to call anyone, I'm sure they use the word, but you don't need to call anyone a midget. You know, right. you just call it like a normal match. Again, if the commentary goes sideways, I apologize, but as far as the match itself goes, they just had a straight up WWE production starring little people. And all so right. That's what I remember about
Yeah, I can make no, I cannot offer anything on the commentary because I have never seen this. Like, I'm literally watching this with fresh eyes. So. And Rob is still laughing at me. Rob is still laughing at my faux pas.
Well, Rob, what do you remember?
I think I broke it.
Am I kind of on the right path there?
Because I remember, all right, so El Torito was with the, Los Matadores or something. It was, yeah. And then Hornswoggle was with, three MB. Yeah, that was, Drew.
Oh, the three man band, yeah.
Yeah. Drew, Heath, and, Jinder, yeah. And, that's about all I remember because I haven't watched this in a while.
All right. Well, then this ought to be a fun little watch along because we're all, I'm watching it definitely for the first time. So we are, if you've got it pulled up on the WWE YouTube channel, you can watch it along with us. I think, guys, we are going to start this in T-minus 3, 2, 1. So we've got the commentary team set up. We got one guy dressed up as JBL, the other one dressed up as Lawler, and somebody dressed up like Michael Cole.
Yes, and they're all little people.
This is already incredible. And yes. I can't hear the commentary, so we'll never know. If you listen to this at home and they say anything offensive, I apologize. But it looks like they're giving it back right back to the actual Lawler and Cole.
Oh.
That's amazing.
All right, so the announcements are out, and here come the Los Matadores.
And, oh, they have a little person referee also.
Yeah, they have a little person. They went, yeah, everybody was little people here.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Like I said, exactly. But they play it straight.
But, okay, how much was the old man sniffing when he came up with this?
I honestly
lots of powder, sir.
But they play it straight, man. There's no pot of gold gimmick. There's no, like, stupid stuff like that. Like, yes, the chair they're going to use is a miniaturized chair. It is not a standard aluminum chair or steel chair. But they play it so straight. I kind of think this is, like, not the old man's idea, you know?
Oh, why? Because I forgot, because there's actually a video with a commentary, I think, like Hornswoggle's, somebody else watching it.
And my wife hopped for El Torito's entrance, by the way.
Yeah. She, this is pretty incredible. I mean, I'm looking at this guy. Guy's athletic as hell.
Oh, yes. No, I might be a little behind. When he pops out with the magic trick they just pulled for his entrance.
Oh, yeah, with the capes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sorry.
What they actually call those things for the matadors.
She yelped and giggled, already off to the races.
Look at Drew McIntyre.
Good looking dude.
And Hornswoggle's dressed up just like a member of three. He's even got the long hair. Look at that.
Yep.
This is great.
My God.
Now, was this like a long thing? How long was he with them, Rob? Or was it just for this?
It was just for the night. It was just for this night.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Because, I mean, they might have done some stuff on TV, like, for a few weeks to set this up, you know.
Yeah, but, to build it all.
Yeah. He wasn't a, like, member. Because, I mean, El Torito and Los Matadores, like, they actually go together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, this is a traditional-ish TLC match because there's no championship suspended from the ceiling. So they're pretty much just having a match that happens to have tables, ladders, and chairs in it, is my assumption here. Because there was no championship that they were wrestling for here.
No, yeah.
Hornswoggle is a heel at this point.
Yeah, and the 3MB, they were heels.
And as I remember it, because I did see little clips and things with El Torito, he was pretty over.
Yeah, he was the only part of the group that was.
Yeah, Epico and Primo were not over. El Torito was.
Oh my God! Remember the vacation dudes they were for a while?
Oh yeah, they had the vacation gimmick.
Oh man!
Look, man, hey, they got paid for it.
Yeah, hey.
Yeah, man.
What's El Torito going? He's looking for something under the ring, guys.
This is not going to be good.
Nope. He's got a chair. It's about to get violent here. No, he doesn't want the chair. He doesn't want the chair.
Come on, man.
But he's got a mini chair. Okay. He's got a mini chair. That's awesome. This is incredible already. We're 2 minutes in. I'm having a blast. This is great.
Right?
He's going to do, oh, Lord.
Hey, man.
Oh, here he goes with that. Isn't that, a Bronco Buster.
Beautiful.
So he did that headstand thing in the corner that Penta does. Yeah. Now Jinder's in the ring.
Oh my god.
But
wait a minute. Now he's dragging Hornswoggle around the ring by the Jinder got hit in the balls.
Amazing.
Oh, this is great. So
yeah, like, and again, it's...
They're riding the line. Like, they're very much riding the line.
Because, again, in the scope of professional wrestling, they have not done anything too ridiculous.
Nope. He wants a bigger, small ladder.
Yeah.
Amazing.
The small, small ladder was too small. He wants a bigger, small ladder. We're going,
oh, my God.
We're going up into the lights here.
This is great.
Yeah, we want the bigger one.
Oh, that's a good punch.
Here we go. Jeez, oh. Swoggle.
I didn't realize Swoggle was all tatted up.
Yeah, man.
Swoggle, he's up there. Swoggle looks like I would be standing at the top of the ladder right now, trembling in fear.
The thing is, I'd be like that standing on top of that ladder.
Absolute facts. I would be terrified. I don't do that well anymore. Not at my advancing age.
I'm not big on stepladders. No.
No, stepladder. Like, I can go up the ladder to the side of my house, like, no problem. I don't know why. I can just do it, no problem. But a stepladder? No, I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah. I keep getting hit with commercials. You mean a light bulb? So we just had a pretty good-looking powerbomb here. Let me skip the ad back to the match. Yeah, come on.
Dude. They're having a match.
Okay, I gotta see what they gave this on Cage Match.
Yeah.
If they didn't give this at least 3 out of 5, I don't even want to hear from them.
Oh. Yeah. It's out of 10, right?
Yeah,
it's out of 10. Oh, this deserves, so far, this deserves like a... At least a 6.8 or a 7 so far. Oh, it may get better.
Oh, God. They gave it 8.31.
Absolutely deserves it.
They got it right.
They got it right. Cage Match finally got one right. Right. This is a red letter date.
Yeah, seriously.
No, either Epico or Primo just went through a mini table. That was incredible. Right.
And now it's just chaos. We got 3-man band. We got Epico and Primo. We got... They're going back in the ring. Oh, man.
And Swoggle is going off the chair. And, oh, hit him with a, I guess, an earthquake. You should call that the.
What is that thing? That was awesome.
All right, Hornswoggle's calling for something from the top rope or something.
Oh!
Nope. Oof. Splat.
Oh my God.
I love the mini announce table. That's incredible.
And like, dude, I keep saying it every time he comes up, but Swaggle's a good wrestler.
Swaggle was a very good wrestler.
Like,
yeah, I mean, look, those guys, they were all like DJ said, they were real wrestlers.
They're road traveled.
Let's be honest, man. After a while, especially at Swoggle's level, you could live off the gimmick and do just the cheap extreme bumps. You know, he's out there in the ring like preening and doing this and doing that. It's just
awesome. Oh yeah, and he's like entertaining as hell. He just got it.
The lightning that this thing is riding is just incredible.
Great. I mean,
the stuff that's meant to be funny is really funny without being overtly offensive because they mixed a real match in between all of it. And I think that's what makes the difference here.
Yeah.
And so again, I'll come up with a better example, but Swoggle's not dressed like a Christmas elf.
Yeah.
He's in wrestling gear. He looks like a member. He is a member of 3MB.
Oh, now the rest of 3-man band is in here. Where are Epico and Primo? Why are they like not?
Yeah, taken out.
Taken out. Well, yeah, one went through a table.
They went through the tables.
That's right. Oh, we got another miniature table.
And you know, in wrestling, if you go through a table, like, yeah, that's it.
That's it. You're done for the match.
Yeah. Especially if you're not in the match. Man, this is gonna be a mugging. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it is. It's about to be a mugging. It's about to be 4-on-1 here. Torito's just getting beat to a pulp now. Oh, we've got a chair shot.
Oh. Come on.
And Heath Slater just went through about 5 mini tables. God, look at this baby face, Drew McIntyre, like years away from maturing. Damn commercials.
Yeah.
All right, they've got Torito at the top of the ladder.
Here we go, baby.
It's about to get violent here.
Yeah, it's about to get violent.
Oh, here's Epico and Primo. Now we're back in business.
Now we're back.
And, oh, ow.
What's the kick?
That was a rough spot, man.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was, man.
That was a rough spot. All the credit to all those guys for taking that.
I hope Torito was wearing a helmet under his mask.
That was actually pretty incredible, too. For all those guys to take that like that.
Because when the dust kind of settled at the end of that, his head was under the ladder. And nothing
Drew's
else.
Drew's going for a plancha, and nope. Drew crashes and burns. El Torito gets out of the way. I absolutely love that they said, you know what, go out there and have a real match.
Yeah. It's the best decision they could have made. And don't overthink it. Don't overbook it. Don't over, like, you know.
This isn't overbooked. I got three-man band, and that was a cool spot.
You left the elf costumes and the clown horns in the back.
Yes, that finishing spot was cool as shit.
Yeah.
That was incredibly freaking cool.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Like, jokes aside, it's deserving of the eight. Like,
yes.
Like, yeah, that was a ridiculously well-worked match with an awesome finish and some awesome spots.
Yeah.
And, oh my God, how did El Torito not die on that spot to the outside?
On that one ladder spot with all the tables? Yeah, that was because he went head first into it.
Like I said, when the dust settles, the ladder was like on the back of his neck.
Yep.
That was
outstanding.
That was a lot of fun. I'm glad we watched that.
It's been so long since I watched that, so I'm so glad we did. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was a good call. I've never seen it.
Nice. Huh?
So, yeah, if you watched it along with us, I hope you liked it as much as we did. A lot of fun stuff going on there with that one. Let's take a little commercial break here, and when we come back, we're going to do a little bit. We're just going to kind of talk about a few things, and then we're going to get into Rob's little exercise that he wanted to do. But before we go to commercial, I want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, I want you to look at, browse, peruse, if you will, all the t-shirt options available from your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcasts, including this one, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Go over there, check the t-shirts out, pick one up. The starving artists on this show will thank you. Your body will thank you if you pick one up in soft style. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. We're going to get out of here, and we'll be right back.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And we are back. Thank you, as always, for listening to us yammer on about whatever's going on this week. Big thing came up this week, actually just today, I believe, or within the last couple of days, longtime women's wrestling legend Mako Satomura, officially done. And I'll be honest, I know a little bit about Mako from her early 90s WCW run, when WCW was trying to build a women's division. And unfortunately, at that period in time, there were very few women who were really, really good. And most of them were in Japan. Mako, Aja Kong, and her name just fell right out of my head. Bull Nakano, all the really good women's wrestlers were in Japan. And so there really wasn't a big division. So like most women's divisions in that time period, they didn't do much. And Mako was a small part of that. But then for years, I didn't follow her career beyond that. She showed up in NXT. What was the first Mae Young Classic? About 7-8 years ago?
Yeah, it was 2017 was the first one.
Yeah. And she was in one of the two. Okay, this is where I was introduced to her, was the Mae Young Classic. And she had a match with, God, her name just fell right out of my head. Oh, God, I hate it when that, I hate getting older, man. I really do. But she had a match on there with a girl, and it was not just one of the best women's matches I've seen up until, it was one of the best wrestling matches that year. And I'm absolutely ashamed that I can't come up with the other girl's name. She was wrestling in AEW for a little while. She was the other girl in Retribution.
Mercedes Martinez.
Absolutely incredible match. And I apologize because I should have remembered that.
I just looked it up. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Yeah. No, yeah, but I should have remembered that because it literally was one of my top three matches of the year amongst the men and the women. And I'm thankful for that because now when we talk wrestling matches, we don't say, oh, that was a good women's wrestling match. You know, like we think about the triple threat that Bianca and Rhea Ripley and Io Sky had, you know, at WrestleMania this past weekend. It wasn't just the best women's match of the weekend. It was best match of the weekend. And we're having these discussions about women's matches. And Mako is a reason for that discussion. Going out of there and putting in the work and having these incredible matches. And I've loved everything that I've seen of hers that I've been exposed to. And most of that, again, was with NXT. I'm a bit bummed that we didn't get at least a year-long main roster run. But I'm glad to see she got something from WWE. And they, every time she came out, they always made a big production out of it, made her a big deal, rightfully so. And, you know, this is, again, part of mine and Rob's youth retiring. And that's that kind of that gets you a certain way, Rob.
Yeah, because I think the only one left who actually wrestled on Nitro, I think, is AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Rey. Yeah, I mean.
Rey Mysterio. But do we count Chris Jericho?
Oh, well, you know what? Yeah, because he did.
Do we count him?
Yeah.
Do we have to?
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
Okay, he's still active, so yeah.
Yeah, so, but there's only a few left that have been actually wrestled on Nitro. So, it's, you know, one more down. So now we're down to, yeah, Chris Jericho, AJ Styles, Rey, and so she was one of the last that did it on Nitro, you know, and yeah, she's one of the best women wrestlers, you know, period. Yeah, it would have been nice to see her. Yeah, it would have been nice if she'd gotten some type of full-time run on the main roster.
May also have been like, I didn't look up her age. I know she's close in age to you and I, Rob, which would put her around the 50-year-old mark. She probably didn't want to do a full-time schedule. And, you know, commit to WWE, especially with somebody like her, like those of us who reached out and watched more back in the day and throughout the years than WWE, you knew who she was and you'd seen her work. But the broader WWE audience would need some time to be introduced to Mako Satomura enough to care about a good run from her. And I don't think she had that kind of time on her hands. And I don't think she had that kind of, I don't think that's what she envisioned her last couple of years of wrestling being, because that's a full-time schedule.
Yeah. So she's only 45.
Really? I thought she was a little bit older than that.
But she's been wrestling for 30 years. She started wrestling. She debuted in 1995. So, yeah, I can imagine. No, she would not have, after 20 years in the ring, you would not want to. That's not the time to transition to a full-time WWE.
Right. Show. It's almost like starting over at 40 some odd years old.
Yeah.
30 years of miles on the tires.
Yeah. So,
absolute.
Yeah. Jason, you got any thoughts here?
I loved her run in WWE because she was just a badass who would beat the shit out of somebody. Like, that was really, sometimes you don't need to do much more than the character, and then the final boss, she will literally just kick the shit out of you. We're off to the races, man, because she carried it perfectly. You can't
and
just
they treated
that
her
gimmick.
Like a final boss.
Exactly. Yeah. They treated her as such, but she could carry it. You couldn't just say, hey, Carmelo Hayes, you're the final boss now. And he could go out. No offense. Like, I love the guy and I think he could get a certain distance, but she had that aura. I hate that word is being killed. But anyway, she has charisma. She has a force of personality and she didn't need to say much.
So just congratulations on an awesome career. I hope she went out the way she wanted to. You know, that's it. We always hope that for wrestlers because a lot of them don't. They either get injured or worse. And you know, if she got to end her career on her terms, you can't ask for a better career and a better life than that.
Yeah.
According to the summary I'm reading, she did just fine, because I'm going to mispronounce a bunch of people, so I'm not going to do that, but she did a tag match with the person they describe as her apprentice, and they defeated two people, and then there was an impromptu two-on-five handicap match where a bunch of people came out, and she teamed with Aja Kong, and it ended in a 5-minute handicap draw. So, or 5-minute draw. So, yeah, it sounds like they just beat the shit out of each other for the last 5 minutes. Awesome. Good for her.
Yes.
All right. Again, Mako, thank you, and enjoy retirement and whatever comes next for you.
And I'm sure there will probably be Hall of Fame induction next year.
There better be.
Yeah.
I think there should be.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. So let's wrap things out here. I'm going to let Rob kind of take over here. Like I said, we wanted to steer away from WrestleMania 41. We wanted to come up with some fresh content, something new. Rob kicked out an idea about midday to me and Jason in the chat, and I'm going to let him take over and explain what he wanted, what his idea was.
Okay, so I was thinking about this because, you know, a lot of times we think about stuff that, you know, there are things that have been discontinued and you would like to see them bring back. There are things, there might be some things that you think have gone on long enough and that should maybe disappear or at least take a break. And there might be some things that you're thinking like, well, this would be better if they made a little tweak to it or change to it here or there. So, and if you've been, you know, if you've been on social media at all, you'll see those every now and then, you'll see one of those things where it's like, push one, you know, fire one, bring one out of retirement, you know, and you've seen those, you know, I mean, so I was just thinking along those lines. So what we're going to do here, we're going to do get rid of one, bring one back. And if you can think of one to fix, fix one. And these are not going to be people because we don't root for unemployment here.
Right.
We don't do that here. Y'all, if you listen to the show, you know, we don't speculate people getting fired and we don't root for people get fired. We don't do that here. So it's just going to be things like matches or championships or pay-per-views, stuff like that.
Yeah. The most we get to on this show is like, hey, I haven't seen this person I like on TV in a while and I know how this company works. So
yeah.
But we don't like to, other than that, we don't like to speculate and all that bull crap. So no, we're going to keep this to belts, gimmicks, pay-per-views, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, so, you know, this is like if, you know, if they fire, like, Voldemort or something, we might celebrate that, you know. But,
yeah, exactly.
You know.
That's not happening.
Yeah, you know. But, so, yeah, so we're going to do, each of us is going to pick one thing to get rid of, pick one thing to either bring back or bring over. And the reason I'm making that distinction because, you know, at least there's something I'd like to bring over that takes place in another company. I'm going to mention it here. And then if we can think of the last thing we'll do, if we can think of something, if any of us can think of a thing to fix, then we'll do that last.
Okay. And we can only pick one, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Cause I, like I said, I'm on a couple of these categories. I'm wavering on a couple of things. So
Rob, we'll call that last one tweak.
Yeah.
What are you going to tweak?
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So who wants to go first?
I'll go. Do we want to just do all three or are you going to do one by one?
One by one.
Around the room with each one.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're starting with Rob. What would you like?
Which one are we starting with? Which category?
Get rid of one. Yeah, we'll get
rid of one. All right. Get rid of. So I would like to get rid of gimmick pay-per-views. Money in the Bank, except for the ones that have been around forever, Survivor Series and the Royal Rumble. Otherwise, Hell in a Cell, get rid of it. Extreme Rules, get rid of it. Money in the Bank, get rid of it. And that'll play into my tweak later. Get rid of it. All the gimmick pay-per-views, they're dumb. Bring back those matches, bring back those, because it puts you in a booking box that it just, you, the undercard really, really suffers. Like, yeah, you can drum up any WWE championship or women's world championship feud, no matter where they are in the feud. You could get it up to TLC match in a month if you really try your darndest. You can't do that up and down the card. So it's just, and it puts you in a box. Put things back where they go. Like, when something needs a TLC match, well, guess what? We're at a TLC match on Payback. When something needs a, you know, a ladder match, great. Do that. Do a Hell in a Cell, God forbid. just Hell in a Cell shouldn't be on the calendar. It should be as the match or the feud dictates. So that's my giver though.
Okay, and I would throw in the Elimination Chamber too, because now that's become an albatross too.
Yeah. Well, I do, as long as they really are going to stick to two belts. I kind of understand two world championships, two women championships. I do appreciate the symmetry of win the Royal Rumble or win the Elimination Chamber. So I will say that.
Okay, I guess I'll go next for get rid of. I wouldn't get rid of Money in the Bank.
Oh, get rid of it?
Or at least put it on pause for a few years.
Yeah, take a break.
Because it's become an albatross. Like on the men's side, like the last 5 or 6 years, 50% of the time they basically burned the briefcase. Going back to 2017, they burned it like 4 times since 2017. And by burning, I mean the person failed to cash in. They cashed in unsuccessfully. And there was a 5th time where they took it off the person who won it because it was Otis it was funny how Otis won the briefcase. And of course you wake up the next morning and Otis has the briefcase and Otis was never going to win the world championship. So they had to take the briefcase off of him.
Yeah, but and I got to be honest, those Law and Otis skits were hilarious.
Oh, they were.
It was laugh out loud hilarious.
They were. That was good stuff. They were, but they had to take the briefcase off of him because he wasn't going to win the damn
world. They found a creative as hell way out of it, but yeah, I agree with you.
And so now, if you look at it this year, okay, nobody's going to cash in the briefcase on Cena, right? That would defeat the whole purpose of this whole thing he's doing.
Yeah.
And I think we're all kind of assuming that we're all kind of speculating right now that Seth Rollins is going to beat Jay whenever it's time for Jay to lose.
Rob.
Yeah.
Didn't you just kind of set it up?
What?
Seth Rollins with the Money in the Bank briefcase takes it off Jay.
Twice?
Oh, Jay.
Punk won it twice.
He okey-dokes the Anoa'i family twice in his career.
Do you really want that to happen, Jason?
He's not saying he wants to, but he's saying the path is laid before us.
If it happens to Jay, I'm okay with it. But, somebody else can catch a chair, a chair in the back for once, okay? Maybe my guy can take an off night.
Jason's basically saying that if any member of the bloodline is going to take another chair to the back, it's going to be Jey Uso.
No, all I know is it ain't goddamn Roman Reigns, okay? Enough. Enough is enough.
Anyway, my point is with men, they burn the thing off half the time because they don't want to do the title change. And now, I mean, even though they haven't had a failed cash in on the women's side yet, but it's still, it almost kind of undermines the person who wins with it. I mean,
well, can we get to my tweak? Because that was my tweak for I have a giant, giant plan for the Money in the Bank briefcases.
Okay. All right.
Good.
You have one in play for a year, right? So you have three. If you win the briefcase, it's 365 days, right? Perfect. Yeah. So you take it off the calendar. No, we don't do the pay-per-view anymore. And then when you feel like you have a story where even if you're going to pay it off in 8 months, you're like, great, awesome. You do the Money in the Bank briefcase match on Raw or on, you know, Payback or whatever. And your person wins, and there you go. Your story started. Then this plays into my take everything off the calendar, off the gimmick pay-per-view. So you don't have to plan for them. You can just use them when you need to. Now, I don't think the Money in the Bank briefcase should totally and utterly go away. So once that person cashes in, you go to the end of the calendar, and you go, okay, their year is up. And then within a couple of months, you should have a men or women's Money in the Bank briefcase back in play.
And you only have to do one. If you did the men's one time, one year, you're probably getting the women's the next. And I think you just stagger it out and make it more special. That's my harebrained idea to fix the Money in the Bank briefcases.
Well, that's how they do Ultimate X and TNA. It's not scheduled. They decided
it first started with Money in the Bank? Was it always at WrestleMania?
It started at WrestleMania. It was always at WrestleMania.
Okay, and then one year it was suddenly on a pay-per-view?
Yeah, they broke it. Yeah, they made it on a pay-per-view. Okay. Yeah, they put it on a pay-per-view.
Well, then that's my mistake, because I thought at least a couple were on Raw, so that's just my bad.
No, it's always been a pay-per-view thing.
Yeah. All right, so DJ, you get to go twice since Jason jumped
in. Okay. Well, this is a little tough. I gotta be honest with you. I was busy at work today, didn't get a lot of time to really, really think about things, and then when I did what I always do and overthink. So I've got, like, two or three things that I can either fix or, I mean, get rid of or bring back. But right now we're talking get rid of. I didn't want to take the lazy way out and copy Rob's homework, but I got to agree with him. When your world and WWE championships are locked into storylines that look like they're going to go more than 6 months to a year, you really shot the Money in the Bank gimmick in the foot. Because, like I said, we did this with Otis. We did this with Austin Theory. Like, it completely tanked Austin Theory.
Yeah.
You know, it took any win. And Austin Theory was on an awesome trajectory. Awesome trajectory. And then he won the Money in the Bank briefcase. And he, in a bubble, did very well with what he was given to do. Okay? I don't hold anything against Austin Theory here. What he was told to go out and do, he delivered. The creative process behind him stunk. The whole thought process behind it stunk. So, yeah, I think at least for a little while we need to retire the concept, come up with something else, because it's just – there's no drama to it. But you're literally just creating fun segments, like watching him come out and just get completely bodied by Brock Lesnar in an attempted cash-in was hilarious in the moment.
Yeah.
But there's no payoff at the end of it all. At the end, he cashed in on what, the U.S. champion?
Yeah, then he lost.
And then he lost it, like, almost immediately. So
he wasn't successful. It wasn't even successful.
Oh, that's right. That's right. How forgettable it is. I forgot that detail.
It did add a certain sprinkle, because he came out during Roman and Brock's SummerSlam match.
He did. And it was an amazing in-a-bubble moment.
He got knocked out by Tyson Fury at the Clash of the Castle. That was funny, too. But it made him a joke, basically, though. I mean,
it did. He played the fool to a T. He was great. But the creative behind him stunk. And they did that simply because there was zero percent chance that Austin Theory was actually going to cash in on Roman Reigns or Brock Lesnar, whoever the champion was in the moment. It wasn't happening.
Yeah.
So, that's, I agree with Rob on that. Like I said, I didn't want to sound like I copied his homework, but for all the reasons, that was immediately the first thing I thought of. Nice. Oh, I get to go twice.
Yeah.
Well, this is a tough one.
Or if you need to think about it, I can do my second one.
Go ahead and do your second one, because I need to think, because, again, this is one I had a couple of different ideas on.
Okay, so I'm going to bring over from TNA, I'm going to bring over this thing they call Option C. And what Option C is if you're the secondary title holder, like over there, they have the X Division title. And so the X Division champion and the X Division title is co-ed. So it could be, so if the X Division champion is a woman, she can decide to challenge the women's world champion and relinquish the X Division title. If the X Division champion is a man, he will relinquish the X Division title and challenge the TNA world champion. And you can just do that whenever.
Yeah.
Right. You just have to be the secondary champion. So. It's not on the calendar. You're not booked into a corner. It's just whenever you want to do it, you can just pull it out and do it.
Has anybody ever done it immediately?
I don't know. I don't know. Okay. But I would do that. And now that we have women's mid-card titles, now you got all types of options, right? So, so on Raw, you could have, Dom challenge Jay, but you could also have Lyra challenge Io. Or you could have Zelina challenge Tiffany, or you could have, Jacob challenged Cena.
Wait a second. Now, when they cash it in, they have to go to the management and say, hey, I'm relinquishing. And
well, yeah, basically, yeah, they come out there and they cut a promo, basically. Look, I'm going to use option C. And then when it's time to have the match, they hand over you have to relinquish the secondary title.
Now, hear me out. Merge our ideas and all the problems we have.
Go ahead, Jason, because I'm going to add to that.
Imagine you could do a mid-card champion could do it like a Money in the Bank briefcase. They walk out, they hand their belt to the ref and say, I'm no longer the champion. Ring the bell for my heavyweight title match, please.
Yeah, you could do that. But I think the way they do
it. You actually only actually pull the trigger on it once in a blue moon. But the option of it being there would be delicious.
And this does one more thing, and this is a thing that literally just popped in my head and I wished I had gone with it, that they could get rid of. Double championships.
Yeah, and that's one thing.
I have grown to hate.
Oh, I despise
double championships. Like, I don't want to see anybody carry around two belts, and there is enough people on that goddamn roster that somebody doesn't need to be walking around with two belts. Yeah. It's unnecessary.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to say anything, because when my guy, comes back and merges the World Heavyweight title and
shut your mouth.
Look, it's great if it's one of your favorite wrestlers.
My favorite wrestler did it for 16 days. So
they probably condensed him down to one belt.
And that's but it's still, even then, they needed to have, yes, it was great that Roman had both belts, but they really needed to have the world title on Raw.
They did. Becky Lynch at that point in time was one of my favorite wrestlers on TV. I hated Becky two belts. I hated it. It was, and like I said, and I'll defend her as a wrestler. I'll die on the hill that Becky Lynch is one of the best talents of the last 10 years. However, I won't defend Becky two belts at all.
It's just, and of course now we got over on the Root Beer Show, we got four belts, Monet.
Oh, Jesus Christ. The belt collector. Oh, fuck out of here with the belt collector.
Four belts, Monet.
And she's get out of here.
And you know good enough she wants to make it five.
She does, because they're already kind of, she's online kind of sending jabs out there to Tony Storm. So, I'm just sitting here wondering how it took Tony Khan so long to move Mercedes Moné into the Women's World Heavyweight Championship, picture.
Well, then they had to finish up, they had to finish everything up with Tony and Mariah. Well,
yeah, they had 2 years into that story. So.
And then also, look, if, you can, like say when Gunther was Intercontinental Champion, you could, if they had wanted to, he could have dropped the Intercontinental belt. If you didn't want Gunther to lose the Intercontinental title before he won the world title, he could have done the option C thing and just,
Yeah.
So I think
personally, I think Sol Ruka needs to drop the speed title.
Well, they probably will have her lose that,
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they probably will. Cause...
All right. I get to do bring back. Boy, this one was tough because there's a lot of things. Bring back or bring over. There's a few items I had. In limited necessary capacity, I would love for them to bring back cinematic matches. And I know that's recency bias, but I enjoyed most, if not all, of the cinematic matches. I think there's a place for that. I really think there is. I enjoyed it. We are, I definitely think that's something that we could get away with doing. Like I said, not weekly, not even monthly, but, maybe quarterly, either at a pay-per-view or on a special Monday Night Raw or SmackDown, come out and do something wacky. Okay. All right, Rob. Go ahead, Rob.
All right, so I guess now I got to what would I tweak or fix or
do I still have to bring something back?
I brought the option C over. I brought that over.
Yeah, Jason hasn't done bring back yet.
I haven't done bring back.
Oh, will you bring something back, then I can think.
Bring back a 24/7 championship that goes across all your shows. That stuff was doing amazing, and in all of the hours of television, even if they run across Evolve once in a while, like, you can make that work. They could be on Raw every week for a couple of months. You know, it just, that's just the way it works. But some sort of 24/7 title, that was so much fun, and with all the programming and the huge roster you have now, there's no reason you can't weave it into everything. So that's my bring back.
Okay, so I would tweak the women's tag team championship. And what I would do is I would make it primarily an NXT thing. And now you can still have main roster women, you know, win it. But I would make it primarily an NXT based title. Because, you know, they have a lot, you know, I think the NXT women's roster is actually bigger than either Raw or SmackDown. It's not bigger than combined, but I think it's actually bigger than either Raw or SmackDown, you know, individually. And I just think you can get more activity. And also, you know, if you do have women from the main roster who are the tag team champions, you can give them something different to do, going down there and working with some of those girls. And they can still pop back up and, you know, do some stuff on the main roster with it also. Because I think, like, even though, I mean, yes, it was like title belt overkill, it was really good when they had women's tag team titles, when they had the NXT women's tag team titles. I thought it was really good when they had them down there.
Yeah.
But I guess it is kind of belt overkill, especially now that they have the North American title. So I would just tweak the way that they do the women's tag team titles. Cause there's still times, like the main roster is still like sometimes, you know, 1 minute they have six women's tag teams and then the next minute they have two, you know, cause people split up and whatnot. So I would base them in NXT cause they always have enough girls in NXT to have a tag team division.
Love it. Have you done everything?
Yes, that leaves me and my fix, and my fix is directly tied to the women's division in general. I would hire more women in charge of creative. I don't know what their backstage is right now. I know Molly Holly has been a part of the creative team for a little while. I don't know how many women are part of the creative process in WWE in general, but I'd like to see the women get more stuff, and they're slowly turning the corner, and I mean meaningful stuff. Like, they're doing things with the women, but sometimes it's just like a match. But like, we had Naomi and Jade Cargill in just a match, a blood feud match, for not for a title, just wrestling. You know, yeah. And you've got this incredible roster of women. I feel like we need to stand. I know we beat this drum about every 60 to 90 days, more for the women, but I mean that, and I will continue to beat that drum. Even as I see improvements, because as we like to say on this show, you don't let off the gas, especially when you see them start to turn the corner. You stay on the gas on them and you lean on them and you say, okay, I like this. Keep doing it. And I like it. Keep doing it. Keep it up. Give me more.
Yeah. And there's somebody out there who would be really good to put in charge of your women's division.
Yep, and she's currently unemployed.
Yeah.
Gail Kim is right there.
Yeah.
I won't say single-handedly, but she was influential in making TNA's Knockouts roster the best women's division in wrestling.
Yeah, and I think you need somebody in, you need somebody to be the boss of the division. And because right now it's like creatively, they get to it when they get to it. Other than the title matches, other than the title programs, you know, anything out, cause they still barely have any feuds outside of the title stuff. And then
you have to wonder if they just don't have a voice backstage. Cause we talk about this under Vince, under, and I'm sure this happens under any wrestling promoter. If you don't go in there, knock on doors and advocate, they're not just going to give you, hey, that I like that DJ guy. I'm going to give him TV time. Well, why should you give him TV time?
Yeah. Well, and that's, well, they, it seems like they listen to them if it's about title stuff. Cause I mean, the women were, they were the ones that were pushing for those mid-card titles and they finally kind of relented in, but, it's just, it's still, there needs to be a consistent year-round creative thing going on because otherwise, you know, we might get a month where they do a lot of stuff and in the next month it might only be title stuff and nothing, you know, and then, yeah, and then there's some months where they just kind of go on autopilot even with the title stuff. So, you know, and, so yeah, I think I'm with you on that. Like you need a full-time person in charge of the women's division to do creative and to come up with stuff for them to do and to write better promos.
Yeah. I mean, and again, that all goes back to creative and creative yeah. looking at their talent going, okay, what can I do with them?
And yeah, cause look, we get these hellfire and brimstone promos from the guys every week. And then with the women, it's the same old basic shit.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
The only one they're giving the good stuff to right now is Bianca and Naomi, which I'm fine with. You know, I love what they've been doing, but yeah, there's a lot of other women on that roster. And maybe it's one of those things, if everything's great, then nothing is. But they're making some of these women look like fools out there.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of it is, like I said, a lot of it's just basic and it doesn't really resonate.
Yeah, it doesn't land.
Yeah, and it just and it shows up in some of the numbers too. I mean, you know, but
yeah.
But yeah, I think that's a good call.
Yeah. And while we're speaking of titles, I can't get out of here without saying one thing. This is actually a two-parter here. One, congratulations to Zelina Vega on SmackDown last week. Finally, after what feels like forever of just putting in the work. Wins the Women's United States Championship off of Chelsea Green. Awesome moment for her. I've been just an advocate of hers as a wrestler for a long time now. And Aleister Black came back. My little heavy metal heart is so happy.
I'm so happy.
And he kept the good music too.
He kept the good music. He kept like everything. They brought him back like he never left. It was great. I love it. Absolutely incredible.
That was a fun little 1-2 punch on SmackDown. We've been beating the Zelina Vega drum for a long time on this show. She makes anything she's in better. And so she's going to make the Women's Midcard Championship scene better. And then Aleister coming back like he never left with, you know, like he really never left. Really never left NXT. With the old music and everything. So, yeah, that was just awesome, man.
As Jason would say, it was aces.
It was.
So, all right, guys, I think we can get out of here a little bit early tonight. I'm good with this.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go back around the room like I always do and thank my co-hosts, starting with Jason. Sir, this was a fun show tonight. This is what I wanted to do.
I'm glad. We had a good time tonight. And I hope you, the listener, did too.
Absolutely. Rob, great idea. I had a lot of fun kicking this around with you guys tonight.
Oh, well, thank you. And, it was cool to do this and just, you know, break up the monotony, you know, a little bit for a change.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't want to get into all that other stuff. I wanted to do something fun, something upbeat and, you know, get back to what makes this podcast fun.
Yeah.
So you, the listener, thank you as always for tuning in again, sticking with us through the end. We appreciate you as this is now the 240th episode of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. If you've been rocking with us all along, we appreciate it. If you're new here, welcome aboard, and we hope you stick around. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling, you can call it sports entertainment, you can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we are out of here till next week when we're talking Backlash. Yeah, guys, that was a good one. That was fun.
That was.
Yeah.
I had a great time.
All right, I'm going to get off of here and try and get this over to Tunney tonight because I'm not going to get a chance tomorrow because Rob and I are doing the Big Five, and then I'm working on Saturday. So,
good for you guys.
I will talk to you later, all right?
Later, boss.
All right, bye.
These days, I can do anything from my phone. Book a vacation, order a meal from a five-star restaurant, buy and trade stocks. But maybe the most amazing thing I can do is make my dirty laundry disappear and then reappear perfectly washed and folded. I have Rinse to thank for that. I just schedule a pickup in the Rinse app or at Rinse.com. A Rinse valet comes to get my clothes, and before I know it, they're back, crisply folded and ready to wear. They even do dry cleaning, which is returned hanging in a nice Rinse garment bag. And with Rinse, my satisfaction is guaranteed. If for any reason I'm not happy, they'll re-clean my clothes for free. Best of all, Rinse saves me tons of time each week. That's time I get to do something I love versus something I have to do. So if you want to save loads of time by not doing loads of laundry, remember, there's an app for that. Rinse. Sign up now and get $20 off your first order at Rinse.com. That's Rinse.com.